You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a weekly podcast of serialized fiction by Tansy Rayner Roberts. Thank you, everybody, for your comments about and tweets about Glass Slipper Scandal. I'm glad it went down so well. I do plan on writing more future stories for the podcast set in that particular castle. So don't hate me too much for the slightly cliffhanger-y end. Okay, so we're starting with a brand new serial this week, and that means because the last one was an original, we're going back for an archive story now. And I decided to go back to my short story collection, Love and Roman Punk, which was released in 2011. Now, this collection is really close to my heart. It's the fictional response to my doctoral thesis, which was deeply certainly the end part of the process was deeply traumatic in many ways. And when you've spent seven and a half years immersed in academia, there is something very joyous about taking all that stuff that you studied and immersed yourself in and turning it into a thoroughly irreverent piece of fiction that doesn't need footnotes. So I had great fun putting this the collection together. The collection was with the 12th Planet Press, and it was part of their 12th Planet series, which was 12 books, each by a different female author, with four short stories. And originally, I came up with the title Love and Roman Punk. Originally, the four stories, two of them were part of the same universe, and the others were just other Roman-themed stories. But my editor, Elisa, made it very clear to me that if this book was going to be something special, I was going to have to write, they would all have to connect. They should all be part of the same universe. So this story I'm going to start reading today, it's going to be, and over the next 6 weeks, is called Julia Agrippina's Secret Family Bestiary. And it's actually based on the real historical fact that Agrippina the Younger wrote a family history which has been lost. And because her family was one of the most seriously messed up families in the history of the universe, I have always said that if time travel was invented, that would be the thing I would go back in time to save. I'm pretty sure the real book doesn't have vampires in it, but at this stage it's lost to history, so who can say? So, this is the first book in the Love and Roman Punk, the first story in the Love and Roman Punk collection. And I will come back and fill in the others as the podcast continues. So for now, a little bit of history. I take a lot of liberties, and as I say in the afterword to the book, I regret nothing. Julia Agrippina's Secret Family Bestiary, Part 1. Julia Agrippina's Secret Family Bestiary by Julia Agrippina Minor, widow of Tiberius Claudius Nero, mother of the Emperor Nero, widow and niece of the Emperor Claudius, sister of the Emperor Caligula, and of Julia Drusilla, Julia Livilla, Nero, and Drusus, daughter of Agrippina Major and Germanicus Caesar, granddaughter of Julia Major and Marcus Vipsanius Agrippa, great-granddaughter of the Emperor Augustus, enemy of Livia Drusilla, wife of Augustus, bitch of Rome. Let us begin with the issue of most interest to future historians. I did not poison my uncle and husband, the Emperor Claudius. Instead, I drove a stake through his heart. In my defence, several of my close relatives have been vampires, and I have had little occasion to kill any of them. Claudius was a particular case. For the sake of good scholarship, I have arranged the secrets of my family in alphabetical order, beast by beast. Basilisk. I was 4 years old when a basilisk tried to kill my brother. Caligula was unimportant then. We had a father and two elder brothers who were in line to be Uncle Tiberius's heirs, and Caligula was a skinny little drip of a thing, 11 years old, and not nearly as pretty as he had been as a small child, when the soldiers made him their good luck charm. We lived on the march, following our famous father from army camp to army camp. We were used to sand in our clothes and rain in our hair. I woke early and smelled smoke. I crawled over to Drusilla's sleeping form and stuck my head out of the tent, in time to see the nearby bushes burst into flame and ash. I cried out to warn the camp, and soldiers ran here and there, drawing swords and routing the monsters. My mother and siblings ran out too, all but Caligula, who yawned and turned in his bedroll, and my baby sister Julia, asleep in her cradle. A dark stain appeared on the back of our tent, blackening the canvas, and then a hole burned through. The creature crawled inside, balancing its serpentine, slithery body on two spiky bird feet. I learned later that if the basilisk had met my gaze, I would have died in an instant. Luckily, its attention was entirely taken up by my lazy, slumbering brother. Later, my mother also expressed surprise that I had managed to fling my sister's wooden rattle with such force that it had pierced the creature instantly through the neck. My father, how I loved him in that moment, shrugged and smiled. After all, he said, she is a Julia. Centaur. To be a Julia meant something long before our family became emperors and gods. Julius Caesar, the conqueror, once gave a fine funeral speech for his aunt Julia, the wife of Marius, paying particular attention to that time she had saved her husband's army from being attacked by centaurs, without setting foot outside her weaving room in Rome. It was she who had sent Marius a pouch of lucky seeds, which, when scattered on the earth around their campsite, turned overnight into sharp-thorned caltrops. The women of our family have ever been fierce and effective. It is said that upon the death of Marius, it was Julia who guarded his grave from the magicians, who would have stolen a bone or a lock of hair to fuel war charms or virilis potions. There is a carving of Julia upon her tomb that shows her protecting her dead husband, his gladius in one hand and her own wicked sharp spindle in the other. Dragon. Everyone knows that weaving is women's work. When my great-grandfather Augustus, first emperor of Rome, came to power, he declared far and wide that the women of his family were the most virtuous, the most hard-working. Why, every garment on his back had been woven by his womenfolk, his wife Livia and daughter Julia. Livia indeed had an entire hall of slaves who ensured that she was able to provide her husband with homespun weaving. Julia's skills lay elsewhere. She could ride a horse as well as a man, draw a bow with the strength of an Amazon, discuss literature with searing intelligence, and flirt the greatest of secrets out of any ambassador, armed only with a glass of red wine and a warm smile. But her father's values were old-fashioned, and he did not wish the Julias of the imperial family to emulate the warrior women of our family's past. He wanted his daughter to weave. And so, though she would have been more useful in the army at her husband's side, or protecting the body of her father, or charming the visitors from Egypt and Jerusalem, Julia worked in wool, over and over, perfecting the skills her father valued. This was her life for many years. She married Agrippa, bore him several children, and worked in wool. she was only one day a widow when her father gave her in another marriage, this time to her stepbrother Tiberius, whom no woman could possibly have been expected to tolerate, let alone love. When Julia was caught astride the son of Mark Antony, persuading him to abandon his treasonous plots, even as she fucked him into oblivion, her father did not care that she was entertaining her lovers upon an intricate blanket she had woven herself, with the skills she had built over decades. Weaving was no longer enough to save her. Augustus ordered Julia's exile, refusing to see her for the rest of his life. She realised for the first time what he had become, and how little she meant to him as anything other than a political tool. Julia tore her blanket and favourite stola into strips and wove herself a pair of wings, so that she could soar above the city under her own power. By the time she had reached the island nominated as her place of exile, she had built a fine layer of green, hard skin around her limbs, and the hair she was always so vain about had fallen away into the sea. For the rest of her natural life, Julia looked forward to the day her father would come to beg her forgiveness, so that she could frighten him with the flame that now burst from between her lips, sear his pasty skin with the white-hot steam that gushed from her nostrils, and then could finally lay her new body aside and be a woman once more. But he never came. And in time she preferred to be a dragon. No one expected her to do anything with her claws except that which was mighty and fearsome. Julia had always wanted to be fearsome. Eagle. When Augustus died, it was not Julia's sons who inherited Rome. Each of them had fallen from poisoned wounds or mysterious illnesses. It was Tiberius, son of Livia, who took the empire. One of his first duties was to make Augustus a god. We Romans are a people of many gods. Adding more to the pantheon is a common tradition now, but yet to the Julian family this moment was vital, and the pursuit of godhood was to remain a familial obsession for generations to come. Livia craved it. My brother Caligula dreamed of it. My uncle and husband Claudius dreaded it, I think. To become a god was to be an eagle, soaring above the city. I was born 1 year into the reign of Tiberius, and my brothers would often tease me by pointing out the birds in flight, hollering, "There he is! Augustus is watching you!" They made me cry out of fear that the old man would fly down and peck out my eyes. Years later, I played the same trick on my own younger sisters. What is it to be a god? Surely it means something more than a diadem upon a marble statue. I imagine a dusty room in which my brother, uncle, husband, step-grandfather and great-grandfather sit around in fine robes, pecking at crumbs, like the birds that flock around the temples. What can they possibly have to say to each other? Okay, thanks for listening. You can follow me on Twitter or Tumblr at Sheep Might Fly for updates and occasional commentary. And I'll see you next week for the next instalment of Agrippina's Secret Family Bestiary. See you next week.